Hey, it's Latif from Radiolab. Our goal with each episode is to make you think, how did I live this long and not know that? Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know. Listen wherever you get podcasts.
This is The Takeaway. I'm John Hockenberry. The 45th president of the United States is a first-timer in politics. He's the oldest person ever to be elected to a first term, and he's a billionaire named Donald J. Trump.
Now it's time for America to bind the wounds of division. Have to get together. To all Republicans and Democrats and independents across this nation, I say it is time for us to come together as one united people. Time. I pledge to every citizen of our land that I will be president for all Americans, and this is so important to me.
If you watched the results unfold last night, it was a victory that ripped northern industrial states from Democratic hands, that underscored a failure, an apparent failure of Hillary Clinton to deliver a credible message on the economy, and that revealed that Trump's supposed massive shortcomings with women and minorities didn't matter all that much to enough voters in the end. Trump's critics have excoriated him for a year or more for not sounding presidential. But last night he did, because he was.
We're going to get to work immediately for the American people. And we're going to be doing a job that hopefully you will be so proud of your president. You'll be so proud. Again, it's my honor. It was an amazing evening. It's been an amazing two-year period. And I love this country. Thank you. Thank you very much.
A few words about the numbers. From Florida to North Carolina, Virginia, and Ohio, as returns came in, it became clear that Hillary Clinton was underperforming among the group she needed to offset Trump's advantage with white working-class voters. A stunning overperformance in the turnout in rural America gave Trump an ace that no one, not pollsters, not the many long-winded aggregators, saw in the deck. Trump's ace was crucial in Michigan, in Wisconsin, in Pennsylvania. Trump's closing message was simple: the economy. While Hillary Clinton's message was also simple: Trump is a dangerous incompetent who disrespects minorities and women. But that tone was not part of the concession speech that Hillary Clinton gave today. With a steely composure and a wavering voice, she ended a personal political narrative that began decades ago.
This is painful, and it will be for a long time. But I want you to remember this. Our campaign was never about one person or even one election. It was about the country we love and about building an America that's hopeful, inclusive, and big-hearted.
In the end, while she won the popular vote, Hillary Clinton got fewer votes than President Obama did in 2012, 6.6 million fewer. And what's more, the Republican vote stayed about the same as in 2012. Although who voted exactly in 2016 will be the puzzle analysts will try to solve over the next weeks and months. Hillary's most powerful message today was for the heartbroken in the audience and all over America for what might have been.
And to all the little girls who are watching this, never doubt that you are valuable and powerful and deserving of every chance and opportunity in the world to pursue and achieve your own dreams.
Moments later, President Obama spoke about this result, surprising result, which he acknowledged was surprising, and about what impact it has on his legacy.
I also told my team today to keep their heads up, because the remarkable work that they have done day in, day out, often without a lot of fanfare, often with a lot of attention, work in agencies, work in obscure areas of policy that make government run better and make it more responsive and make it more efficient and make it more service friendly so that it's actually helping more people. That remarkable work has left the next president with a stronger, better country than the one that existed 8 years ago.
Folks, what do you think happened in this 2016 election?
This is Jillian from Ohio.
This is Matthew Meadows calling me from Seattle.
Hi, this is Karen from New Jersey.
I'm scared and I'm feeling really unsure right now.
I'm zero shocked. She rigged the primary and nobody wanted to read the emails.
I woke up this morning saddened, terrified, ashamed.
I'm not quite sure what to tell my daughter. She's nine, and this year at school she was groped and assaulted by a classmate. So I'm kind of at a loss for words today.
Monkey see no evil. Could have been Bernie.
How do I sit this morning and have breakfast with my children and explain this to them?
A takeaway from this election? One takeaway from this election? That will take some time, I'm afraid. But we can get started by hearing from you. Engagement works in this democracy. Fears, jubilation, anger, despair. I told you so, righteousness. We want to hear it. What just happened? Disorientation. All of it. Give us a call and tell us how you're feeling. We're at 877-8-MY-TAKE. Joining me in the studio this hour is Kelly Goff, host of WNYC's Political Party and columnist at The Daily Beast. Kelly, how are you feeling?
I'm still a little surprised. I think like a lot of people didn't, I was reading the same poll numbers everyone else was, including the Republican National Committee. So I did not anticipate this outcome. I think this is going to be another reminder that every single vote counts. And, we know that 6.6 million fewer Obama voters voted this time around. We know that African-American turnout was lower in certain places like Florida, which ended up being a key decider the other evening. And as I said, I recently saw Birth of a Nation, and it's a reminder to me that a lot of people sacrificed and suffered so I could have the opportunities I do, including to vote. So how some African-Americans could not turn out is beyond me, but perhaps, a Trump presidency could be a wake-up call about why voting matters, particularly if you're from a disenfranchised group, and why protest votes can be harmful, because we know Jill Stein and Gary Johnson took quite a few votes that might have covered the spread for Hillary in a place like Florida.
Something that we'll discuss more later this hour. With me from Pennsylvania is Todd Zwillick, Takeaway Washington correspondent. You were in a state where the notion of every vote counting was an absolute reality, Todd. How did it feel?
Well, I was with a whole bunch of Trump supporters last night. I made it my business to hang out with them at their watch party. So, of course, the jubilation and triumph that I'll describe to you won't come as any surprise. There's no one profile, John, of the Trump supporter, but in a state like Pennsylvania, which is now the avatar of the white working class support that Donald Trump got, I think for a lot of people it's about legacy. You know, when Donald Trump talks about trade and NAFTA, it's not as though every working class worker in Pennsylvania saw their job disappear to Mexico, or China. I don't think that that's necessarily the case. There is a broader sense of economic and cultural loss for a lot of people in this state. And even in their families, it may be that back in the 90s, someone's father might have lost a job when a factory moved to Mexico. Or in the late 70s, certainly somebody's father or uncle or mother lost a job when the steel mill shut down. That's not to blame on NAFTA, of course. That's a much broader and probably deeper sense of loss when it comes to globalization and the loss of the way things used to be. And I
think but you make an essential point, Todd. It's this accumulated sense of grievance from certain social issues. Maybe it's transgender,
right.
Maybe it's gay marriage, maybe it is a job loss. This accumulation becomes a sense of the pendulum's got to swing the other way, and that's what the jubilation is that you're hearing in the votes and the voices of these Trump voters. Lee Snover is someone you had quite a relationship with going back to the summer, and in many ways, and we'll listen to her now, she says it all.
I'm filled with hope. I was feeling so down about America, and I was waiting on someone to come back who wanted to bring America back to mostly manufacturing jobs in a whole new country, in a whole new light. And I didn't know. I wanted it so bad. I had faith from the beginning that Trump was the right candidate, and I really wanted to win Pennsylvania. And, I never stopped believing we could win Pennsylvania. I had some down times. I think the most defeating time I had, or the doubts I had, was after the first debate. But then I saw us bouncing back. I saw the volunteers. I knew there was a movement. I knew there was energy.
So what's different here, and let's get away, let's forget about slogans and make America great and all that.
I agree.
What is different here that a Republican has won Pennsylvania for the first time since 1988 and also has defied every single expectation of pretty much every single professional, conservative or liberal, who does political science here?
I will tell you what I think is fundamentally different here. It truly wasn't a conservative movement. It wasn't about social issues. I didn't feel that Christian coalition feel. I really felt a populist movement. I felt united movement, an American movement, a kind of made in America feel. I felt that people were coming together, Democrat, Republican. It was not led by the elites. It was not led by the establishment. It really was grassroots and ground up.
Does that help explain why so many people missed the magnitude here on election night of what happened?
Did they miss it or did they refuse to see it? I'm not sure they missed it as much as they refused to see it. I think it was a major denial and refused to accept that really they refused to accept that regular blue collar, everyday working people could have the country again. I don't think they thought we ever could, especially after Obama. I don't think they ever thought we would win again. And that's what I think they refuse to believe.
That's Lee Snover, who's Northampton County GOP chair in Pennsylvania, who spoke with Todd Zwillick about a broad sense of the pendulum's gone too far. It's got to swing back. Is that how you're feeling hours after spending time with Lee Snover and, looking forward there in Pennsylvania, Todd?
You know, one of the things that struck me about Lee, who really had a big victory here, I just want to say about on the political side for Lee Snover, she was an early Trump supporter from the beginning. A lot of people in the Pennsylvania GOP were not there when she was. And Northampton County, where I am right now in Easton, turned from blue to red, John, for the first time since 1988. This is a massive political victory for people like Lee Snover. Now, you heard the way she talked about jobs and the economy and the America of the white working class. And what's interesting about somebody like Lee, for me, in that way, is that when I bring up other issues in this campaign, like sexual assault or like talking about women in a misogynistic or dismissive way or Islamophobia or xenophobia, these things are not things that Lee Snover really connects to. At all. She doesn't say she supports those things. She kind of glosses by them and says either that's campaign rhetoric or just something that gets said in a campaign, I'm really about jobs. So for somebody like her, it really is about economics. Now, she also doesn't speak out against those things that I mentioned. So that might be something to think about as well. And I think something that we're all going to be thinking about as the Trump presidency ramps up. What does acceptance of these things mean, even if there's not outright support for them? And I think that somebody like Lee Snover is somebody who embodies that.
Trumpism, what is it? Is it just the economy stupid, or is it a lot more and a lot darker ideas? We'll find out. Todd Zwillick is with us. Kelly Goff, host of WNYC's Political Party and columnist at The Daily Beast. This is The Takeaway.